next time.
And thank you, Mark Andred, for leading us in song and now leading us in the Word. You know, we're blessed by men like Brother Mark. And I'm reminded that, you may know this, that he teaches or shares the Word in several assemblies. He travels regularly to assist David Ray with the assembly in Royston. He appears fairly frequently now, it seems, at the Bray Road Chapel in Duncan. And, of course, we miss him any time that he's not with us here at Wakesia. But Mark tells me that when God lays on his heart that he's to teach at a certain place and a certain time, it's not a decision that is his to make. He goes. And so let's remember to pray for Mark. When we don't see him, he's sharing the Word in another place. And we're blessed now to hear from Mark with the power of God from Scripture itself. Mark?
Thanks, Ted. All of that sounds very glowing, but just know that the best way to describe it is Phyllis Taylor has this lovely little poem in the front of her Bible. It's about this old man, and he's slurping his tea off the saucer. You know, you can just picture it. This old guy with half his teeth gone, and he's all bent over or whatever, and he's slurping the tea, and the poem goes on about that for a little bit. And at the very last line, it says, "I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed." And it changes the whole picture, isn't it? That's the blessings of God. My daughter was down from Fort St. John, and I'm supposed to turn this thing on, aren't I, too? Sorry. My daughter was down from Fort St. John, and I told her that to walk with God. Now, you're walking rain down on me, but you need to lay hold of these for yourself. You need to have your own umbrella of blessing on your own life, and that can only come about by your own decisions, by your own walk with God. I can't walk that walk for you. I can lead you when you're a little child, but I can't do it for you when you're an adult. So all of these things and all of Ted's words are fine and wonderful and good, but know this. It's God's last week, I gave you a page of notes. I'll be reviewing it just a little wee bit. And David will get you one. Open in prayer. And what we do here is we need to ask the Lord to give us great big elephant ears. I look at those elephants and I think, my, they got big ears. But you know what? They can hear sounds from miles and miles away, low rumbling sounds. And I think, Lord, I need to hear your words so big and so strong that it affects my daily life. It's not just a pleasant story that goes in here and comes out here. As my mother would often say when I was a little boy, son, hold up your hand so it doesn't just go right through. But think about that. The words of God should be life-changing, and these are. So let's pray and ask him to make us smart. Our God and Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father, we bless you and praise you and thank you for who you are. You're the God who made the heavens and the earth. You're the God who has redeemed our souls. You're the God who has prepared eternity for us and us for eternity, all with God, for all those that know and love you. Father, we worship then, we bow, and we ask humbly that you would send your good Holy Spirit, you and the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit would come and that he would open up the word to us and that it would be a good word and that our hearts would be prepared like good soil, that it would go in deep, that it would take root and that it would affect our daily lives. As our world goes slowly amok and seems to be chaos on every side and wars and rumors of wars and all those other things that we know are foretold in Scripture, as we see them happening, yet we come back to Isaiah 3:10 where it says, "Say to the righteous, it shall be well with him." Oh Lord God, help us then to lay hold of these things and to believe that our God is still a God who reigns, who has all things in his good control. We bless you and thank you and praise you then. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so if you have your paper, we're going to spend the first few minutes reading, and then I'm going to open up scriptures to you. And this is all about the power of God. And it's not that my words preempt scripture, not by any means, but I just want to bring your attention to some things, and then we're going to get into a whole bunch of scripture. So I'm reading where it says, Christ, the power of God. I'm just going to start there, and I'm going to read down a few paragraphs. Can any man make a star, an earth, a human, an animal, a plant, an air molecule, a raindrop, a germ, a bacteria, a particle of light, dirt, dust, or mist? No. I had the wonderful joy to be out at a lady's place where I did some work, and she's a complete unbeliever. In fact, she mocks the things of God, and she's a doctor in Victoria, and she was up, and she was showing me a picture of her brand new granddaughter. And she said, Mark, look at how perfect this little baby's made. Look at her little hands. They're wonderful. And for the last half hour, she'd been telling me about how she doesn't believe in God and all that other stuff. And now she's showing me this picture, and I said, yes, you're right, her hands are incredible. I said, look at even her little fingers are so perfectly made. And she said, yeah, isn't it wonderful? I said, yeah, just think, all of you doctors in all the whole world couldn't make a fingernail. God who has made the heavens and the earth makes all these things that we can't. Keep reading. But the God who does make, he orders, he upholds. Remember, that's in Hebrews chapter 1, upholding all things. How? Ladies, you can talk in church. If I start a verse, keep finishing it. Upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down where? At the right hand, that's right, of the majesty on high. Sure. Advise man on how they work. What is best for man, or indeed give him life? No. Only God, God of the Bible. Not Hindu, Shinto, the great raven, not the Pope, not technology, or the conglomerate brains of all the brilliant minds combined can make one iota of original life. No being or power apart from God can possibly make eternal life happen. If we can't make the physical life on this earth, us will go through tough times in this life. Is this thing going up and down and up and down? Oh, okay. If that's the problem, I'll stick it in a different pocket. Try that. How's that? Okay. So we looked at all the fear nots, and they were for people going through terrible, terrible times. And what happens is God sends to his people a word of comfort for those that need it, a word of strengthening for those that are weak, a word of whatever their fitting need is. Look at this. If we were to put that up, don't put it up. But if you were to put it up, what's the verse behind it? Out of Peter. Casting upon him, for he careth for you. He careth, and he doesn't care even as my mom cared for me. He cares even more than that. He cares incredibly. All of your cares, think about that, for he careth for you. So we looked at all of those verses and said, review. He's able, he's gifted, he's willing, he's committed, and he's enduring to save. That word enduring, we read in the New Testament, it says, and he endured the cross, despising the shame, counted it of no consequence for the salvation of our souls. Think about that. So, it all comes to the critical point of power. Who has power? It says, who has it? Here's the questions we're going to answer on your page. I'm about a third of the way down. It all comes to the critical point of power. Who has it? Where can we find it and access it? Can we use it? And to what purpose? So now with those questions in mind, we're going to read through the scriptures that I wrote out. Then we're going to look at three of them in quite close, okay? So the first one is 1 Corinthians 1:24, and that's where the title for this comes from. But to those who are called, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, it says what? It says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, what are the four things? Who of God is made unto us, wisdom, righteousness, what's next? Sanctification, and
redemption.
Redemption, yes. What was the first meeting all about here? The cost of our redemption, the wonderment of it all, and the praise that is due to God for the redemption of our souls. He tells us back in the book of Job, he says, the redemption of a soul is precious. What can we possibly give for it? Okay, so that's 1 Corinthians 1. Romans 1:16 says, the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. What a wonderful word that is. It doesn't mean just the good guys. It doesn't mean just the rich guys, just the guys with the big hats. For everyone. Mark Andrade is one of the everyones. Isn't that good? 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 4 says, for though he was crucified, yet he lives, how? By the power of God. By the power of God. And look at the verse goes on, then it says, we shall live with him by the power of God. The same power that made the heavens and the earth, the same power that upholds the moon and the sun. I mean, they can plot tables about sunrise and sunset and full moons and whatever, quarter moons and everything else for eons from now, because it moves and is upheld by the word of God's power. It is predictable, isn't it? And so is God. I am the Lord, I change not. Do you know what the next line of that verse is? Or the next verse? Therefore ye are not consumed, ye sons of Jacob. In other words, it is the mercy of God that we can absolutely bank on, that we can count on. Look at the next one. It says in 1 Peter 1, 3 and 5, and there's a little asterisk beside it. Put a star beside that if you need to. We get to look that one up later. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. My question is, how long are you going to be kept for? If I said, well, Joe Bonanno was the mafia boss, the most powerful mafia boss in New York City until, and I said until he went to jail or until he was killed or until whatever, what does that tell you? That his keeping of that position was very limited, wasn't it? But our souls are kept, and there is no word until after that. Our souls are kept by the power of God till when? Till forever and forever and forever and forever. As long as Christ lives, my soul is hidden in him, and I shall live because I am in Christ. I hope you are too. Who are kept by the power of God through faith. By the way, if any of you lack faith, let him ask of God. What's the rest of that verse? Who giveth liberally to some guys. No, to all men, and upbraideth not. Yeah, he giveth to all men, and upbraideth not. Acts 10:38, look at this one. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. How much good? All good, all the time. See, what this verse does right here, it dispels the once-a-year Christian or once-a-year person who comes to church on Christmas and says, well, yeah, he was born in the manger. Wonderful story that is. Yeah, kids, we're going to sing a Christmas carol now and we're done for another year. No. Look what it does here. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all. Now look at the other opposing power. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And all God's people said, amen. Now the next one on your sheet ties right in with this one really carefully. That's why they're in this order. Matthew 9 and verse 6 says, that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Tell me, where did the sins come from? Well, they come from Mark Andrade in my own sinful nature, partly. They partly come from Adam. In Adam we all die, right? But part of it is that Satan goes around as a roaring lion seeking whom he can lick. Is that what it says? No. What does it say? Seeking whom he may devour. Devour. Think about that. He means business. And he's a very real, very strong opponent. But next to Christ, he's already done. He's a has-been. Think about that. Matthew 26:64, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power, and look at the next one, and coming on the clouds of heaven. Where is he coming? To this earth. And he's going to set up his kingdom. And guess what? The nobleman who went to a far country to receive his kingdom and return, he's going to come back. That's all of Luke 24, isn't it? Or Luke 19, pardon me. And he's going to receive his kingdom and he's going to return. And for the Christian, it's going to be a wonderful hallelujah day, right? Psalm 8, the very first verse and the very last verse of Psalm 8 say the very same words. It starts and ends the same word. Wait, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent, or the other version says, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. Then we shall see that with our own eyes. We're going to see the Lord's name from one end of this globe to the other, right around and around. How excellent is his name in all the earth. Sure. And he is coming again on the clouds of heaven. Look at Matthew 28 and verse 18. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. What is left out? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. All power. All in the King James Bible or in the New King James or whatever you're reading means exactly what it means in everyday common English, without exception. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. John 1 and 12. Look at this next one. Put a big star beside it if you need to. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Want to know how to have the power of Christ? Well, it starts right here. It starts right here. To them that received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only, what's the next word? Begotten. Because God has many sons in glory. Every saint that ever died is going to be a son in glory. But he has only one begotten son. And who is that? The Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Next one here, John 10:18. He's speaking about his life and he says, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. Acts 26:18 says, to open their eyes. Now this is exactly, this verse is what God has done for me in the person of Jesus Christ. And I tell you that with humility. This is what he did. I wasn't going around trying to find him. He found me to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Isn't that wonderful? That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith which is in me. Wonderful words of life. That's what he did. By the way, if we walk in the light that God gives us, what does he give us next? More light. If you refuse the light that God gives to you through Christian parents or whatever, or Christian friends, or the attending a church and reading your scriptures, if you refuse that light, then what does he do next? He takes away the light that you have. God is not mocked. He will not have his holy things just put out for the world to trample on. Walk in the light that you have, and he will give you more light. Sure. Romans 1 and verse 4 says, and he's declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. In one of the Psalms, and I've forgotten which one, sorry, I didn't look it up, it talks about day unto day utter speech, night unto night, their voice has gone through the whole of the universe. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Does anybody know what psalm that is? The number's gone out of my brain. The heavens, don't look it up. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows forth his handiwork. And it says, there's no language, no race of people on the earth that haven't heard that. Because everybody looks up in the sky and says, wow, what a sunset. or we see the aurora borealis, or in the southern hemisphere, the Australis borealis, and say, wow, look at the lights that God made. We see the stars, we see the sun and the moon, all of these things. God says they show forth his glory, and every man is accountable. He says, you are without excuse, O man. The next one. The next three are the ones that we're going to look up, so just skip those. Come down to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, upholding all things by the word of his power. We already talked that. John 17, 2 says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now look at the last one. God has all power. We've read verses right there in front of you. And has given it to his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus, our Lord, works all things according to the purposes of God and for our good. Romans 8, 28 says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and what? Are the called according to his purpose. So as I'm busy going about my daily life, am I about my purpose or his? Are all things working together for me if I'm out there trying to dig up a dump truck full of gold? I don't think so, because I didn't read that in the Bible. But know this, if I am busy about his purposes, then all things are working together for good. What a blessing on my life. Okay? For our good. God, or the Lord Jesus Christ, uses the almighty power lovingly, judiciously, and mercifully. Thank the Lord for that. I'd be undone if it wasn't. His people have full access to his power when doing his will for his honor and glory, given in response to faith when needed and asked for in prayer. It's that simple. You don't need to wear a big pointy hat. You don't need to speak in Latin. You don't need to speak in 10 foreign languages. He's as far away as your heart can utter a prayer. Jeremiah in the dungeon, in the miry pit, right up to his neck. Jonah in the belly of the whale. You in whatever difficulty you're in, he's only a prayer away. That's the line from a hymn that we sing, isn't it? He's only a prayer away. Think about that. There is no formalities that you must have to call upon God. In fact, sometimes the most earnest pleas and the most earnest sincere cries to God are when we can't do anything formal, when we're stuck laying in a hospital bed, when we're doing whatever it is where we can do nothing except lift up our eyes to God, or even if we can't open our eyes, to just say, Lord God, please help me. Do you know what the great promises of the scripture are? Don was talking about this in the first service. He promises, and one of his great promises, to hear our prayers. The most wicked sinner that ever lived, that truly repented, is instantly forgiven. But the most religious-seeming man who is a hypocrite is not forgiven. Two thieves were crucified with them. One was lost, lest we presume. One was saved, lest we despair. Right? Now we'll take your Bibles and we're going to turn to these three passages. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. These are all New Testament passages. The reason being is last week we spent our time in Isaiah. And I'm careful to tie Isaiah to the New Testament, of course. It's all God's good holy word. But we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 now. And verses 21 through 28, and we're going to read this 15, and we'll pick it up at verse 20, because that's where the paragraph starts, and I'm reading out of the New King James. It says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Fallen asleep means death, right? When Lazarus died, the Lord Jesus said to them, oh, he's sleeping. And they said, oh, that's great, that's wonderful, he'll get better then. He'll have a good rest. So he told them plainly, it says, he told them plainly, no, he's dead. All right, so watch this. He said, they've fallen asleep. For since by man came death. What man was that? Adam. By man, death came. Okay? It says, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Okay, now I want you to hold your finger right there and flip over to John chapter 5 and verse 29. And this is incredible. People that don't believe in God, they think, well, that doesn't apply to me. I've got news for them. John 5 and verse 29 says this. Starts right here. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. How many people are left out of that? Nobody. If you say, well, Mark, I don't believe in God, so therefore it doesn't apply to me. Guess what? God is a lot bigger than your disbelief. You will rise to life again. Some to the everlasting glory of heaven and fellowship with God, but some, according to that verse, to everlasting condemnation. That's what he says. So back here in 1 Corinthians, he says, so in Christ shall all be made alive, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. What powers, be they Satan, be they demons, be they kings of this earth, be they war machines, be they conglomerates of and confederacies of men, what powers will ever survive the power of Christ? Absolutely none. Absolutely none. So why not get on the winning side right now, to use a bad phrase? Why not give your heart to Christ and say, he's mine. He is the most powerful that can ever be. Why not align yourself with the right one from the start? Keep going. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And all God's people said, amen. In Psalm chapter 2, Psalm chapter 1 introduces us to the blessed man from heaven. He starts off, how blessed is the man? And that's the man from heaven. The only man that ever kept that psalm perfectly is the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all supposed to follow in his footsteps. We're all supposed to emulate that. And the blessings come to us if we do. But then in Psalm 2, we see that same man from heaven put on the throne by God the Father. He says, yet have I set my king on my holy hill of Zion. What wondrous things. We get to see that. We get to see that wonderful thing. So in this one right here, all power, all authority is going to be put in subjection till Christ's power is acknowledged and embraced as absolute. There is no other power that is going to survive the dominion of Christ. None whatsoever. The next one is Ephesians 1. Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. I have to keep doing that in my brain all the time. I'm really glad that some Sunday school teacher said, Mark Andre, go learn the books of the Bible. Helps me find my way. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17 to 23. Okay, this is one of those most incredible passages of Scripture. If you haven't done it, photocopy it. If you don't like marking in your Bible, photocopy it, and then take a highlighter and just start highlighting all the things that we have in Christ in this book of Ephesians. It's incredible. And here's one of these passages. In him, we have redemption through his... Oh, that's verse 7. Pardon me, I want verse 17. We'll pick it up at verse 15. I think I said 17. Yes, 1:17-23. So we're going to start at verse 15. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, and watch what he's asking that they would get, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. What's he praying? What do those words mean? There's Paul saying, my prayer is that you get to know God, that you see him with your spiritual eyes, that you understand him, that you understand what he has for you in his word, what he has for you in this life and what he has for you in the life to come. That's what he's saying. He may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Watch the next one. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance, in the saints. Do you know one of those verses that we had on that paper talks about our inheritance? But what is Christ's inheritance? What has God the Father given him as the spoil of war? He's given him all the souls of the redeemed. He's given him all of us as his inheritance. He's given him the nations, all of those things. But see this one? Look at what this one says. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness? It's not just the greatness. It's the exceeding greatness of his power. There it is. We're talking about what today? The power of God. How does it work? Watch this. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? Do you want God's power working in your life? Then it starts with belief. If you have no belief, you have no access to this. Want to be a better person? This power is available to you, but it only comes through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it starts with belief in him. Keep going. He says, to his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now listen, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is the power Paul is praying for these people to receive, that they would lead a life that is worthy and pleasing to him. I don't know about you, but I sure need that. 100 times a day. If you don't think that you need it, let me ask you this. The 10 commandments. The first one is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength, right? How many of us kept that perfectly today? Put up your hands. Today is the Lord's day. We're with his people. How many of us kept that today? Not Mark Andrade. I can't even keep the first commandment. Never mind the other 9. Did I fail in the first commandment today? Yes. Have I failed in it many days in my life? Yes, I would say the bulk of them. How much do I need a Savior? By the way, that wasn't the 10 helpful suggestions for an easy life. They are the 10 commandments of a holy, righteous God that will stand as our judge if we don't have faith in the atoning work of Christ for all of our shortcomings. Think about that. Keep going. It says, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Oh, well, was he talking about the nuclear age there? What about all those big weapons that the U.S. has stockpiled and Russia and all of those things? They're nothing. They're nothing in the hand of an almighty God. He can accomplish more with a set of hornets that drove out all the Canaanites than men can accomplish with nuclear bombs. Think about that. Our God, how many of us had a real wonderful hot summer? We did in Port Alberni. We had a real hot summer. It started to rain the other day. You can almost see the people, figuratively, dancing in the rain for joy. Right? Think about in Israel when it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. And that was an agricultural-based economy. What did you feed the sheep? What did you feed the cows? Oh, well, gee, after the first year there were no cows because we ate them all because they were just dying anyways. Where were the grapes? Where were anything that you lived on? It was an agricultural-based economy. If God just shuts off the heavenly tap, what straits are men in? Terrible things. They talk about climate change like it's the new guru of whatever. I would say to you that you need to get back to behind the weather and see the one who upholds all things by the word of his power, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep going here. He says, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Gave him to be head of the church. The head should be directing. The head should be making decisions. The head should be, and what's the rest of the body supposed to do? Follow the head. Right? The arm doesn't say, well, today, Mark, I feel like I'm going to go to Victoria, not to Port Alberni. The head says, oh, yeah, watch this. You're coming with me. We don't even have those conversations, do we? That would be stupid. And yet it goes on in churches. Christ is the head. We cheerfully and humbly and willingly say, thy will be done on earth. What's next? As it is in heaven. And every time I say that, I got to emphasize, as it is in heaven means it's done cheerfully, it's done instantly, and it's done completely in heaven. Mark Andrade, are you doing his will today cheerfully, completely, and happily, completely in the things of God? Next one we want to go to is Colossians 1 and verse 11. Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Chapter 1, verse 11. Colossians 1, verse 11 says this. We'll pick it up at verse 9, because that's where the paragraph starts. It says, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. I have been remiss in that I haven't prayed for my daughters every day. I wish with all my heart that they would walk close with God. What was Paul to these people? He was their spiritual father. How many of us have family members that don't walk in the ways of God? What should we be doing? Wearing out our kneecaps. Praying, saying, Lord God, draw them to yourself. Take them through whatever hardships are necessary till they reach an end of themselves and reach out to you. You know, the worst thing that happened to my three daughters is they're all successful. They don't have time for God. And I say, whoa, 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 wait a minute. You can't be a success. There is no such thing as a success without God. The poorest man who's a ditch digger with God is a far greater success than the most learned bishop or doctor or anything else is without God. We're not a success without God. We're a dismal failure. Think about this. What a lesson. For this reason also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And all God's people said, amen. This is what we should be praying for everyone in this church. As we see little people coming to church and growing up in the things of God, Lord, pour into them a special blessing. Give him big ears to hear. Give him wisdom and understanding that he can read your word and understand it. I have had two prayers since I've been a little boy, and they've always been joined together. Lord, give me a hunger for your word and give me understanding as I read it. Do you know, to this day, I can't get enough of his word. Drop kick the television over the balcony and get into his word, and I'll tell you, you'll have blessings unknown. Keep going. He says, spiritual understanding. Look at, and this is what happens if you do. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. How many of you want that for yourselves? I do, with both hands and both my feet. I want that. And I want it for all those that I know and love. I want it for this church. I want it for you individually. I want it for us collectively. I want it for the world to be filled with the knowledge and the glory of God. Keep going. Increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. How many of you think that Idi Amin Dada had power? Well, he did. He had a whole bunch of people shot. How many of you think he had glorious power? I don't. He was a tyrant and a despotic character that should have been taken out himself and shot. In Christian love, of course. Forgive me, that was bad, but think about our God is a merciful, pardoning, wonderful God, and he is glorious in his power. Think about the difference between tyrants and a loving God. Where will you go? Who will you proclaim as your master? Not an Idi Amin Dada of this world for me. It says, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. Now, what does that verse right there, though it doesn't say, what does it carefully imply? If you are long-suffering, it means you've been wronged. Doesn't it? It says, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. You've been wronged. But how many of us wronged God? Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. What's next? As we forgive those who trespass against us. And then he tells a story in the New Testament. And if you don't forgive from your heart, neither shall my Father forgive you. How much has God forgiven Mark Andrade? Great, huge. If you wrote them on a list, it would fill the church of my sins. How dare I hold one against my brother? Remember the two servants? Sure, think of those things. Think on them. And when I say think on them, I don't mean, oh yeah, that was a nice little story. I mean, go home and mull these over. Think about them at night. Think about them when you're laying in your bed before you go to sleep. Think about them when you get up. And say, Lord, today help me to think on these things so that it affects my life. Keep going. He says, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us, the King James says, translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. What was the morning service all about? What were the two emblems at the front of the church on the morning service, on the first service? The bread and the wine. What did they speak of? His body in atonement, His blood, the new covenant in His blood. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. And the old hymn says, what can wash away my sin? And the very next word is critical. Nothing. Absolutely nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? I was broken. I'm so broken, all the doctors in the face of this earth can't fix me. What can make me whole again? And the next word is nothing, absolutely nothing but the blood of Christ. Think about that. And as you go through this week, if you are redeemed, every time you think about that, think, thank you, Father, for the gift of your Son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming and doing it. And thank you, good Holy Spirit, that you've made these things real and impressed them on my heart, and I will not let them go. Last one we're going to look at. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. This isn't on your page. Ephesians chapter 6, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. We'll finish with this. Chapter 6, 10 through 18. I'll just read this to you. And I trust that the Lord will speak to you through these words. It's an admonishment to all Christians not to get caught up and sucked in by the world. Watch this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Not your own. In His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Remember this morning in the first service we heard about Herod, that fox? That means sly, sneaky, crafty, cunning, and bad. A fox eats your chickens. He doesn't bring you chickens. Think about that. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And that is the the prayer that I have every time I stand in front of you people, that God would give me his words that he wants you to hear that day. That we would speak boldly of the things of God and say, Lord God, help us to do so. That's it. Stand up, please. You should all know the words of Numbers chapter 6 and verse 24, and they go like this. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And all God's people said, amen. Let's just stay standing. We'll close in prayer and then have a great day. Our God and Father in heaven, hallowed be thy word, hallowed be thy name. Father, your word is real, it is quick, it is alive, it is instructing to my soul. And Father, I would pray that it would rest in the souls of these, your people. If any of them aren't your people, that it would be a convicting word to them, that it would make them seek to be right with God. And Father, we would ask then that you'd bless us all this week, that you'd watch over those who are in their own difficulties. We think of Norma and Fred, and we think of all the others, Father, Muriel, Lewis, and all these others that we would know and love and care for. We commit them to your wonderful care, and we commit ourselves to your care. Please work out all those things in our lives that need working out. We bless you, we thank you, and we praise you, and we look forward to your setting up the kingdom on this earth. Our God will reign, and his name will be majestic in all the earth. Thank you in his name. Amen. Have a great day.